And we are recording. Okay, so so we have just a few of you on so far. So this would be a good this last class that we're going to do before Insight and before class is really just a review of any of the chakras, any of the spiritual centers. And any questions that you have about anything we've covered this summer, anything that was on the audios, and you can ask those questions. And if you're, it helps a lot. I think it helps everybody who is on to to see when how to work a vow or freedom statement, or even sort of understanding them at a deeper level, or an excessive and deficient quality. You know, how does that work, and how does it work in the different chakras? So happy to answer any of those questions. And we're also we didn't talk about the soul points yet. So we can talk a little bit about that and answer any questions that you have about that. But why don't we just start with any questions from any of the last teleclasses that we have had? And let me just check and see the Q&A to see if anybody's typed anything in the Q&A. Nope. So if you're on, keep in mind that if you are on the webinar, you can type a question in. If you're calling in, you press star two to raise your hand and ask a question. And this last teleclass is really I want to, like I did a couple classes ago, I just really focus on what you all need, any questions that you have personally. About anything that came up, or even a comment, something that you listened to, on the audios, and you want to, sort of say, wow, this was really cool. That really stood out for me. It wasn't something I thought about before. So feel free to raise your hand, star two, or post something on the Q&A, and. Let's have someone get us started here. All right. Well, nobody's leaping into the void. So I guess we can just talk about for a minute. We can talk about the soul dimension. And so if you visualize, oh good, Joanna leaped into the void again. Nice. So let me just talk a little bit about the three dimensions that we teach in the school, and then we'll take Joanna's question. So keep in mind that your life, when you look out your eyes, it looks like one thing, but the truth is that what you perceive through your eyes and simultaneously through all of your feelings and thoughts are 12 different fields of consciousness, of energy, and they're really separate dimensions, just like they talk about their multiverses, right? There's our universe, and then there's many others, and can be embedded within universes and universes within universes and all that sort of dimensional concept, but really you are a multi-dimensional being. You not only have physical form in the first chakra, you have sensations that physical form deals with, and vibrations and all that you sense and feel, and you have a level of sensitivity, and you're sensitive, most importantly, you're sensitive to certain things. Your body physically is tuned to certain activities. There's a certain way your body is structured so that it can do different things. And these are all, of course, related back to a soul purpose, a deeper purpose that you have. And so recognizing your chakras as your sort of like your world, your physical body has a purpose, and you have a very specific body for your purpose, and accepting that, understanding that, and then maybe rejecting that, which would be a vow against that. And then a freedom statement, which is open to your body being incredibly, it's capable of living your purpose and connecting with the universe and supporting others in the way it's supposed to. And then the same thing applies at the emotional and sensate level, your sensitivity. How well do you let the world in to that body, and how sensitive are you, and what are you sensitive to? Some people are really sensitive to other people's, what people say, and others are very sensitive to, to the, so each of the profiles is sensitive to different things. Creative idealists are really sensitive to higher frequency wisdom. Emotional intelligent people are very sensitive to heart vibrations. Team players are very sensitive to other people's needs. Knowledgeable achievers are very sensitive to the sort of the overall environment and how it functions. And charismatic leaders are very sensitive to challenge and any, and who, how do we get, how do we survive and protect ourselves and where do we need to go from here? And they're doing that. That's what they're doing. And so, and each of those, that's just the sensitivity. So each of the profiles has a way that they're likely going to have a body and a set of emotions, and then the actions you take as a charismatic leader or a knowledgeable achiever or a team player, very different than if you were a creative idealist, say. So think about your life in these dimensions. And so there is, and then those seven dimensions really encompass everything that happens inside this universe. And they are being guided by a level of intention, sort of a gravity, which is within this universe, but isn't as viscerally connecting to it, which is the life purpose line. And that life purpose line holds it's sort of the bridge between your structured world or your real world, which are the chakras, and the soul itself. And so it acts like like that vertical line that roots you in on planet Earth. You can't get off of planet Earth. We send astronauts up into space, but they still come back. Everybody's going to be here for their duration of their purpose is to have a grounded place on planet Earth and be of the Earth. And so we have that rooted point in the center of the Earth. And then we have our spiritual connection point, which is over our head, which is that vertical line. And we're sort of like a harp string sort of pinned between the Earth and heaven. And so we have both the challenge of being both physical form and matter and animal, and also being divine and being spirit. And so we have this cord that makes us that, and connects us to that. And that has those three points, which are your physical purpose, your contract, your spiritual purpose, and then your ability to know that you have that purpose here on planet Earth, which would mean that you would be an enlightened being, right? So the awakening point is that point at the base of your skull. And so those three points on that vertical line that goes through you live at a very different dimension. They are contracts that, you don't get to negotiate whether you're going to be here. You might diet or treat your body in a certain way or mistreat your body in a certain way to make it more or less functional in the world, for instance, or you may limit your emotions or feelings or, dull your senses or dull your brain, by watching too much TV, or something, which would then certainly limit your physical life purpose. But the reality is that those things, you can't not be here, living that purpose. Your purpose is to be here for as long as your physical life purpose point says you're going to be here, and that is directly related to the universe. So we have these chakras that are our experiences of life, physical experience, emotional experience, actions we take, all of our relationships, how we speak and communicate in the world and share our visions, and then our vision itself in the sixth chakra, and then our connection, our opening to this idea that, well, maybe there's something more. And the something more is, of course, there's something much more, which is the life purpose level, where there's like a specific knowing that you have to, of what you're here to, how you're here to exist, how you're here to, to function on the planet. And it's sort of, I say it's unbendable and non-negotiable. It's a contract. And this is for the second year students, they're learning about, both the profiles and archetypes, which are also sort of like each chakra's guide in there. But for the first year, you're learning about that level of intention, that level of unbendable, this is why I'm here. I have a very specific purpose. That level is the profile itself. And the foundational part of that level is at its core, the profile. That's why I developed the profile system and use it the way I use it, where the actual founders of this, of these five, what we're called character structures, didn't see it as that at all. They saw it more as a behavioral thing. I've noticed that they were actually stumbled onto something. Alexander Lowen and Wilhelm Reich stumbled onto something amazing, but they didn't even notice it. So this is what this next level is about. And this is why all of you at some level are in the program to find out why you're here. I mean, that people will say, well, I don't care why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I'm blah, 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 blah. But they really don't. And the reason that the first spiritual question when someone, and certainly, when I had a private practice, now I have a big private practice with all of you. And when you really break down what people are after, they want to know why they're here. They want to know who they are and why they're here so that they can get on with it. So they can, oh my God, I've been wasting so much time. I feel like I've tried this, I've tried that. And clearly these are not the things I'm supposed to do here because they don't feed me. I'm not getting energy from them. And we all kind of know that when we're living our purpose, when we're really on our purpose, it's not exhausting us. We are thriving. It's like every time you wake up early and you're on it, and then you stay up late and you can't wait to wake up and do it again tomorrow when you're on your purpose. And it really has nothing to do with the job you do or the how much money you make, which is all pretty much all the ego and psyche have been able to glean of a purpose. The reality is that your purpose is this quality within you that that drives you forward. And so, of course, when you first open up your seventh chakra and you're no longer either being your parents or not being your parents, which is all the seventh chakra does, usually through your 20s and sometimes through your 30s, you're pretty much just in that dynamic where you've been so programmed by your parents' energy that that's all you can be, is either like them or against them. But at some point when it opens up and says, well, what am I really? What really is going on? And oftentimes that's the midlife crisis. That's often when people find our program and really want to do deeper work, and really deep work. That's why we offer much, much deeper work than anything you'll find out there anywhere in the world. Nobody goes as deep as we go. Nobody integrates as many healing modalities as we do. Nobody, integrates the archetypes or even teaches them the way we do or the profiles. So we give you tools that you can't get anywhere else. And they are ultimately all designed to help you make that bridge between your chakras, which are really cool things to learn about and really important that you learn about them. But understanding that it's if you can open your chakra, the instantaneous thing you will feel, and whenever you've had a healing or whenever you've done chakra work that's really worked, what you feel is this quality within you, this unbendable, non-negotiable quality within you that makes you so happy. And that is that's the life purpose level. When you are congruent with your purpose, and that line is your congruency line. And certainly you can dissociate from it by closing down your chakras, which is why we teach you to open them up with the vow and freedom statements. And of course those vows will create either an excessive pattern of I always do something or a deficient pattern, which is I never do something in that chakra. And so the vow creates the excessive and deficient, but you've got to observe those things. You have to work with those things. You have to have other people help you see those, because oftentimes because you have a vow in there, you're very unconscious to it, and you need teachers and classmates to point out, gee, you know, that doesn't seem to make any sense. That's not you at all. So as we're thinking about, you know, the whole system that we're talking about here as we're doing the work in the school, we've got our chakras, which are all of our basic experiences of life. And then when we get to the highest pinnacle, highest vibration and consciousness of that, the seventh chakra, we actually can perceive ourselves beyond our physical form and see and experience our physical form as something more transcendent, something more important. And none of you would be in the program if you haven't already experience that you're more than what the TV tells you that you are, what everyone else walking around you. You go downtown in Boston and those people are walking by you, thousands and thousands of people, and it hardly dawns on them that they're more than their body and that would have anything to do, it would have any impact on their happiness or pleasure or anything. And that's because that's, they're driven to succeed. And as long as you're driven to succeed at the physical level, you'll put all your attention there. And you may succeed at the physical level, but at some point, that whole lower chakra world will it's always a false promise, even though you can attain lots of things there. Without the integration of why I'm doing it and what I'm doing it for and why I'm here and who I really am, nothing, no relationship, no job, nothing. Even if you pick the right relationship and the right job, and take care of yourself in the right way, unless you're conscious of it, it can't truly feed you. If you aren't literally being able to make the choice to do that, that's powerful. And that's why, many of you have made other choices, and we all do in our lives. It's part of the curriculum for our lives to make the wrong choice for a long time. And then realize, through doing the type of work we're talking about here, we're doing healing work, and you have this epiphany that, oh my God, I just experienced myself in a way that I know is more true than what I've ever done before. And I want more of that. And that's ultimately why you're here. And so rather than just teach you about the chakras, where I could teach you that you have all these little units of consciousness that process different types of vibration and energy, I want you to also understand that those chakras serve a much larger consciousness. And you have a real spiritual purpose that of course you and your soul were very decided is this is why this lifetime is going to work for you. And being able to do that, being able to enjoy yourself and enjoy your life from the perspective that, oh my God, this is exactly what I signed up for, rather than I didn't sign up for this, those two statements alone, this is exactly what I signed up for, means that you are congruent with your purpose, because how could you not have signed up for this if you're here? And then And then I didn't sign up for this is exactly what you feel when you vowed to be somebody that you are not. The universe is never going to stop sending you what you're supposed to have. And, or if you vowed to not be something and are living in the shadow of your, of a chakra, you will of course call to you people in that same level of shadow around that same thing. And so it creates, it sort of accelerates your need to find out what you really want, what you really need in your chakras. So those are the first two levels. And then the final dimension, which is even on a deeper dimension. So we have the physical universe that acts and works, and all the mechanisms of it are the chakras, the seven chakras. And then we have this, next dimension, which is the life purpose line, which runs through each of our bodies, through every tree, every plant, every rock, every energy system has one of these central columns of gravity that hold them together as they are. That energy is at a dimension of intention, right? And so those are sort of like, they are not in the universe, but they hold the universe together. I mean, I would say that if you probably could see the entire universe of the trillions of galaxies all pulled together in one little ball, like they probably are from far enough away, there's one central power line or life purpose line that runs through the whole thing. And then each individual piece of it has a gravity line that holds that galaxy together, that star together, that Earth together, or that body together. So each one has its own central column of gravity, and each level of gravity has a different amount of vibration and juice and electromagnetic energy. But beyond all of that, in the infinite void, and those of you that have done the Creator Meditation know that you can get to that void by going totally in, before your particles made the nucleus of your atom, which then expanded out and created the electrons, and those electrons and those atoms then started pooling together and creating cells, and those cells created you. That whole process of coming into form, coming out of the void. Well, what's in the void? Those are the two soul points. Those are the soul point. Not only has a place in your body, but it also exists in that void, that empty space before anything's been created. And so each of us have that soul quality within us, and there's a point that we access that through, and that's ultimately what the soul point is. And that's really the easiest way to think about your soul quality is that it's really your character. The part of you that you were in your secret place. That's why I teach you the secret place meditation early on in the program, where that childlike innocence that just is pure loving life is just that. That's the soul quality within you, and then. Of course, its partner point, which is the pineal gland, which is actually the gland that you perceive soul light through. You see the aura, you see life itself. When you look at someone and you notice that they're alive, that they're animated in some way, well, that animation is the soul force itself. And that's how you see it. So these two points exist, one to be part of the non-form that's part of everything. So when someone says, well, I never got enough, I never was enough, I never had enough, that's all, that's how you vow against your soul point. And then of course, when you have that vow and that belief, you're going to block the pineal gland, which perceives all of that infinite, the soul lives in the void, right? Where anything is possible. Now it chooses out of the void to create you the way it wants to create you, because you're here for something very specific that it wants you to do. and see things specifically that way, but you will perceive like a child does. A child doesn't look at someone and say, oh, I wonder how much money that person makes. Gee, I wonder if they're dangerous. They're not thinking that at all. They're looking at another person and they're saying, wow, look at the energy. Look at this. Who's this? What's going on? You know, and they do that until they're taught that that's dangerous to do that, and that we live in a dangerous world. You have to protect yourself, and other people are bad, and you're separate from them, and don't talk to them, all that sort of craziness. So just understanding that these three dimensions, the world we live in, the universe we live in, which are the seven chakras, the reason those seven chakras even exist, which is this next dimension, which is the life purpose dimension, which are the profiles, and those are soul qualities. And then, of course, the soul quality itself, that if you are, you know, if you are a team player, at the soul quality, you're going to have an incredibly compassionate soul, a very, you know, self-sacrificing and caring soul, and in every lifetime. So it's not like you just get one of these things, you rent it for one lifetime. That quality, that profile quality, is something your soul has. How you're going to express it in this lifetime is different in every lifetime, depending upon who your parents are and how your soul chose to put you in the world at this point. So anyway, let's keep going here. And let me take a question here, and I just wanted to review that these three dimensions are what we teach in the school. We mostly focus in the first year on the chakras themselves, the seven chakras, because just by learning about the chakras and how you've managed your chakras, it will remind you that, oh, I vowed against this and that chakra. And of course, that vow that you made was made specifically because it was related to your profile. So the more vow work you do and freedom statement work you do, the more you realize, oh yeah, that really goes along with the profile that I really have. So it helps a lot. All right. So let's go with, we've dropped a hand. Where did she disappear? Joanna. There we go. I'll let you back on there. Okay. Hey, Joanna.
Hi, Reese. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep. Yes.
Great, because there is no electricity, so I am somewhere where there is a generator and they have Wi-Fi. So it's a bit improvised.
Okay.
All right.
Why did you all have the was that because of the hurricane or just happened to be no electricity today?
No, there was a fire in one of the power stations, and rerouting will take a few days. But we hope shorter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Maybe three. The first is, I was thinking, if you walk on hot coals and you don't get burnt, that focus that you have, so you can do that. Do you use your heart? How does that work? Do you use your Hara point for that? That's my first question. Do you want the other one at the same time?
Well, let me just tackle that one. One thing about walking on hot coals is that when you do, I mean, there are certainly people that walk on hot coals a lot. And they do it as sort of like a spiritual practice. But there are also people that never wear shoes and have incredibly thick skin on their feet. The fire walks that people like Tony Robbins do, and I've done those. I have done fire walking. They can be very dangerous if the person doesn't know how to set the fire up. Because even if you're in the right state of mind, the wrong size coals, not raked out evenly, not, you know, just sort of, you know, random coals where you can stick your foot in and it can kind of go all the way inside the coals or things, it isn't set up well. people, even people that are in a perfect state, to just walk through them and not feel the fear and not, you know, create that, can get burned. So one, you have to make sure you go, and it's, and a lot of it is a lot of what firewalking is about is, challenging yourself to do something that would normally scare you. Like it's similar to skydiving or bungee jumping or things like that, where once you've done it, you're like, wow, I did something that really, really challenged me to the limit. That's really what it's for. Now, on the other hand, yes, when you are in that horror line, and it's wider, especially around the dantian, the physical life purpose. It's like the martial artist's hand becomes stronger than the brick, and so the physical life purpose point, when you really center within that, and when the person who is who's guiding you in the firewalk has a strong one, like Tony Robbins, who's a massive dantian, right? He's a huge, huge big guy, very solid, and he can sort of instill that in you to feel that bigger than life, and in that way, you actually are. Your skin is stronger than the fire in a way. So it's a double sort of piece of that. So energetically, yes, the martial artist, like the martial artist who widens their horror line, when you try to push them over, they may only weigh 120 or 150 pounds, but when you try to push them over, they feel like they weigh 300 pounds. And that person also will be less able to, say, stick a knife through, hurt with a punch, burn with fire, that sort of thing. So yes, the life purpose line, and especially the physical life purpose point, is what is called forward, the key up, you know, sort of, and often they'll have you do some sort of key upping, like the martial artists do, where it's ha, 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 or they're patting that part of the belly. They're hand slapping that right around the belly, lower belly, to charge up that sense of solidity in the body, so that other things aren't stronger than the body. Does that answer your question? Hopefully I was. Joanna, are you still there? Okay.
Yeah.
Are you still here?
Can I ask a second question?
Yes. Did you hear the answer to the first question?
Yes, because I was really.
Okay.
Right, so
you're actually,
how, you're how
actually
you do
on
that.
Here. You're actually on here twice. I'm gonna somehow you've web called in more than once. Let me take one of you off. It might help your connection more. Okay. All right. So keep going. Your second question. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Joanna to come back, Daniel also has a question. Question on your Sunday post brought up, how do archetypes fit in with the 12 gateways and profiles? I know archetypes are more in year two, but a bit confused right now on the big picture. That helps me see the pieces better. Are there any good books on that, or just archetypes in general? Anything Carolyn Mace has written in the last, I'd say 10 years, have sort of moved away from the chakras and moved into the archetypes. So anything Carolyn Mace has written, we use her books as sort of like the dictionaries as to what archetypes mean. But she doesn't know, she doesn't really understand how to put them. She didn't understand how to put them into the energy field. So she used them more, with the horoscope and the 12 houses of the horoscope rather than the 12 energy centers, which nobody else but we teach. So anyway, but yes, that would be something to look at. But keep in mind that the primary archetype, those of you that read my, if you didn't read my thing on Sunday, read it. It's a lot of fun just because it's important to understand that those archetypes are going to be a big part of what we teach you in the program, throughout the program, that you have the archetypes. But the only and most important archetype that you need, which Jung called the primary archetype, is the profile. So because all of the other archetypes that you can have, you can't have an archetype that doesn't serve your profile. You can't have a chakra that doesn't serve your profile. So really doing the work to reveal to yourself your actual profile, which of course is the most vulnerable part of you, which you would have vowed against more than anything else in your life, and actually every vow you've ever made in some way vowed not to be that profile, that fullness of your profile. And each person, you know, embodies their profile, whatever the profile is, in their own unique way, based on their own unique chakras. But the profile is the primary archetype. Jung called it the self because he didn't understand the profiles. And those that teach archetypes will tell you, well, you have these, and Carolyn Mace will say you've got these 12, so you probably have 12 major ones, but then you have your 12 minor ones, and then you've got the 12, you know, work ones, and 12 this, and so it gets very confusing very fast when you don't have a primary understanding of what drives all of these centers. And what drives all of these centers ultimately is the soul quality within you, and that soul quality within you is one of the primary profiles. And as you come into human form and onto this universe, you know, those other leadership, achievement, caretaking, heart-centered and heart energy and deep feeling, and then the creative, force, those are forces within every object in the universe, in our universe. And there may be universes that have 8 chakras or 9 chakras or 5 chakras or something, and they may be, but they'd be very, very, very different than our universe. So everything in our universe, has those 7 chakras, and those 7 chakras serve a purpose. And I would assume that the creator of our universe also has a profile. So we can expand out to that level. But within my profile, I also have, I also have all of them. I have the creative idealist. I've got the knowledgeable achiever. I've got the charismatic leader. I've got the team player. I've got the emotional intelligence specialist. I've got all 5 within me. But the one, you know, the one that I'm here to exhibit and express, in the world, is the creative idealist. And that's the one thing you need to know to enjoy your life is going to be, what does that even feel like? What does that mean to me? What does that mean in my daily experience, my choice making, to be able to do that? So thank you for that question. That was great. All right, so one more question here on the Q&A. Is the sexual energy a specific part of the life force energy, chi, or is it chi pure can be used for something else? Or is it chi pure and can be used for something else? So is the second, so again, we're talking about that physical life purpose, point, which has all of your energy and juice and chi and everything in it. And that's why the martial artists focus on that point as the way to develop chi. And that chi energy is more intentional, right? So just like you expand that and you'll be able to, you know, walk on hot coals or do something that you would, you know, that your fears, you know, your brain, your chakras, your vows and your chakras wouldn't allow you to do. Because that chi energy allows you to access more awareness of what you're really capable of rather than what you think you're capable of. And yes, of course, chi is your life force energy. And so it is directly related to, you know, things like sexuality and strength and physical vitality. So yes, those can't be separated out. And this is, you know, first year, we don't get too far into the sexuality talk, even though we'll talk about it on the second chakra. But yes, the truth is that you know, your sexual vitality is a creative force, right? It's not just the creative force to create babies. It's the creative force to create and to invest in anything. So what you invest your energy into is what you create. And the more of that vital energy that you have, you know, the more you are going to create. And so that's why it's so important that you be really clear on your purpose, because a lot, you know, especially charismatic leaders tend to have a lot of vital energy. That's their purpose in life, is to have a lot of vital energy. And so therefore they'll have a lot of sexual energy and they'll be very attractive sexually, attract other people. You know, sexual energy is very magnetic and attracts people. And, you know, but handled irresponsibly, it can hurt a lot of people too and be aggressive and manipulative, controlling. So, you know, certainly the goal is to build up your energy and part of vital energy would be having a very healthy, sex life and a very healthy, you know, energy, that way. And yes, all energy in some way is a reflection of the amount of chi in the body. But to say that sexual energy is chi specifically, you know, it's, you know, that chi energy that runs up and down, that vertical column of energy, that magnetism that you have, is for everything. So it's the way you see and think, it's the way you speak, it's the way everything. So hopefully that answers your question there. Okay. Perfect. So let's go back and so those were, I love the question that you two posed, because you're thinking, you're really going deep. And I love it. And you two are both going to be on the live stream this year. So making sure that you're, you know, posting questions or something, you know, through Patrick to ask the whole group and ask, you know, teachers and me when we're up there. So, but let's go back to just basics, because there's a lot of folks on here that are just working on their basics. You know, and just chakras and, vows. So, let's have, anybody who's got, a question on that, star two, raise your hand. Any question on anything that you heard on any of the audios, or even anything that stood out for you, that you want to have a little more clarity on. Come on. You guys can do it. I don't bite, and I am trying to make this these summer teleclasses digestible. And I know that there's a lot on these, you know, and you're just coming in as first year students, and it's like, wow, there's so much. And truthfully, just I want to remind you that when you get to class, we will so take you step by step through this. You know, and each weekend, each entire weekend is one of the centers, you know, and you know, by the end of the weekend, you'll be like, oh, I get that. That's my vow. And that's my freedom statement. But, like, you know, as I've said before, the reason I do these is to make sure that even though the first time you hear it, it's kind of shocking. It's like, wow, should I have already known that? And the truth is that everything that I'm saying, your energy field already knows completely. You just haven't been trained, your brain hasn't been trained or stretched enough to let this version of reality in. And so it takes a little doing. So that's why, listening to these and thinking about yourself in this more metaphoric or energetic way, helps when we get to class and we say, all right, we're about to do a healing. You're not asking the question, well, a healing on what? What is it? Where does it? You'll know. Oh God, okay. So there's these chakras, and then when we talk about a profile, and you'll be able to instantly see, when we do lineups and bring people up on stage, and you'll be able to see. I'll invite the group up on stage during class. And say, okay, everybody who thinks they have a lot of, the first weekend, it'll be creative idealists. So if you think you do a lot of thinking, come on up on stage. And, we'll have a whole bunch of different people up there. And then I'll slowly sort of show you how to notice that there's a big difference between the way a charismatic leader thinks and spins in their head or, overthinks things. And that's very, very different than the way a knowledgeable achiever thinks and overthinks things. And very different than the way a team player thinks and overthinks things. And you'll start seeing that these energetic soul types that form the body and reform the body every trillionth of a second, it's all being emerging out of the soul's consciousness. Has a very specific purpose along with a wonderful quality. And so the objective of all of this work is for you to all start not only loving yourselves an infinite amount more, but also loving other people more and more. And when you do this work, and especially when you do the profile work and really get to know the profiles and love the profiles in you, you really start loving people again. Not just in a, I'm going to help fix them, which a lot of people, by the time they get to their midlife, they realize that they're here to serve and I want to help other people, I want to do other people. That doesn't necessarily mean you like them very much, because if you're only there to fix them up and make them better, that doesn't mean you like them the way they are. And learning how to like them the way they are first, and then as a sort of an afterthought or something that I would also, I can also offer this person like a model for, playing more. Let's go out and play some games. Let's do something fun. Let's laugh. Let's, go watch a comedy show or let's watch a movie. Let's do something together. And then you can add that to accepting them as they are. That's when the healing really starts happening, because that ability to accept them as they are first is the soul condition. And then the human condition comes in later, where you've got actually some real talents to support them in living their life better, and also they remind you how you like to live your life better. So these are things that we'll be doing in class, and so let's keep going here. Raise your hand, *2, and ask me some questions. You can even ask me questions about what we do in class, what the first weekend's like. Any of that sort of thing. So feel free, please raise your hand so we can have a little more conversation here. So I'm just not talking at you the whole time. And I will, there we go. All right. We have the same fearless ones. Cameron, you're on.
Hi, Reese.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for jumping in and sharing. I'm really good. On the last call, you all heard me coughing. I had bronchitis, which was never had that before. That is not something you want to have. And And so at the end of the month, I took a little time and did a short trip out to Sedona. It was nice and warm and dry. So I think that kind of got rid of it. So I'm doing much better now. And here in New Hampshire, it's been like a cold end of the summer. So,
Yeah, that's what I was
inside
thinking.
Now with the fire room.
Yeah, there you go. I was thinking you were even breathing Sedona air, so that's got to help too.
Yeah. It's really nice out there. Really pretty, beautiful, and the vortexes and that stuff. I love all that stuff. So it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, man. So what's your question?
Or
comment.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's a question. I'm having difficulty linking up like the chakras. Like I'm looking at, 1, 2, 3 and linking that up with patterns in my life, if you will. I don't really understand. I don't understand how to connect them.
Okay. All right. So, well, first of all, we start out by disconnecting them, because you look at all that stuff kind of like your family and how you feel about them, and then the actions you take around, in your daily work world. So first chakra is going to be family and business and sort of your body and your daily, survival, right? Second chakra is going to be how you feel about all that. And the third chakra is the way you act in the world of people and do things. So the lower three chakras are, for all intents and purposes, they're just the life that 99% of the people will say, who are you? And they will just describe their lower three chakras. They won't even mention the upper chakras. Okay. So it's like what I do, where I am, how much money I have, how much stuff I have. That's all most people, that's their whole lives. So the first thing we need to do is we need to say, okay, well, it's not just all one thing. They're very separate worlds. And so you want to look specifically at the kinds of, so especially around when we're talking about vows, which you're asking you not just to look at them individually, as just my family, sort of my family programming. So what was the number one thing you learned to always or never do in your family?
Yeah. I have major trust issues.
Okay. All right. So,
they taught me not to trust and I wound up not trusting them.
Well, the only way they could teach you not to trust is to not be trustworthy.
It worked.
Right. And so what is not trustworthy? And this is one of the biggest charismatic leader issues, which is trust. And of course the apple never falls far from the tree. So you have parents who don't trust, and so they don't trust the child. They don't trust that that if they don't manipulate and control the child, that child's gonna pay attention to them or whatever. So they use all of their unconscious charismatic leader or enforcer traits on the child, and the child then learns not to trust. But the biggest thing that we learn not to trust from our parents, and this is true of most parents, is that the parents couldn't see who we really were. And so you come into the world, and in some fantasy of your soul, you come into the world thinking, oh, I'm going to go in and everybody's going to love me this time. And what ends up happening is that the parents are so stuck in their own unconsciousness that that they treat you in a way that makes you not like your core self, and makes you afraid, it makes you feel shame and guilt around being who you are. And so the child can't afford to not trust the parents, so the child just stops trusting that they're good. But then over time, that action of betraying and not trusting the self and rejecting the self ends up being the pattern that you deal with everybody. So at the first chakra level, I vow to never trust anybody, or I vow to never trust you know, my mother, my father, you know, the big vow was, you know, I will, you know, or maybe I'll always be nicer than, you know, I'll always care about people more than, you know, these are sort of the opposite type of vows that can be made as well. But to just say, no, I'll never trust anybody, you know, because my mom did whatever, my dad was this way. That's usually where the first chakra vow comes from.
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, never trust anyone, you know, or never
okay.
fully trust anyone, you know.
Okay. All right. Was there also a vow in there to always go it alone?
I think that just kind of became because I didn't feel I could trust anyone, so I depended on myself, period.
Okay. All right. So that's sort of like, so now we're getting up to the second chakra where I vow to not need anyone or
yep.
anything.
Yeah.
Or nurturance, right? I don't need anything. I will not have any needs at all. And these are big ones that a lot of people can relate to, but you just want to, this is what you want to start with, and realizing that the not trusting the tribe I'm born into, which is all of humanity, right? That's a first chakra issue. That could cause problems in your life, right?
did
cause problems in your life, right? Exactly. And now we're trying to fix that and realize, oh well, even though I'm now much more conscious and I've worked beyond that, that's some pretty hardwired programming within me that still stops me in a lot of ways. So even as we release things, there are levels of release, and this is in our goal in the school is to really let them go, so you can go back to, you know, the sort of that soul state, that childlike, you know, innocence that's like, this is what I really am. And this is, you know, I, of course, you know, I trust people. You know, and of course you don't want to be like a Pollyanna, you know, like, that's great. You know, that shark in that tank, it's hungry, but it won't bite me. No, I mean, there's some things that you have to pay attention to, you know, there's, and we still have lower chakras that need to be protected. But the level of protection, when the child was rejected at a very strong level, it creates an incredibly strong defense and a vow. And so that's that vow to never trust anybody, you know, is something that, I mean, just signing up for this course alone, you've already worked through a lot of that, because there's no way you'd sign up for a course with this many people if that vow were still totally intact. And so you've already dismantled it quite a bit. Now it's just a matter of noticing that it's still, if it's your biggest vow, it still plays in different areas of your life that don't make you feel good, or, you know, run your energy down, things like that. So that would be,
yeah.
You know, that'd be the first chakra. Second chakra, which is about your getting the needs met of that first chakra. Your first chakra is your, you know, where you are, your family, your this, you know, your work, all these things. So how do you ask for your needs? And, you know, and so the second chakra vow would very likely be, I don't have any needs. You know, I vow to not have any needs.
Yeah.
And so that's now
like,
and now what you, go ahead.
It's more like I don't let anybody close enough to fulfill my needs. It's still got
okay.
part of that non-trusting part in it. I
okay.
You know, and of course there's acceptance there also.
So now, so you can put that up in the heart chakra, right? So now, if you understand the chakras, we'll go through the chakras one chakra at a time. So it's hard right now to sort of say, well, which chakra does this go into? So I vow to keep people at arm's length or further, right? That would be a relationship vow. So that would fit in the heart chakra. How close
okay.
can they get to me is going to be related to how I allow myself to create relationship. So at that level, you realize, well, I still need these people, but they can only get this close.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, so like you're saying, by keeping them at arm's length, you know, you're limited as to what you can ask them for. And so it sort of serves that I don't have any needs anyway. I don't really need you, but you're convenient at times, you know, to have in the in my life because I need a ride somewhere. I need, you know, workers to help me do things or whatever it is. But letting them all the way in to your inner world where you were betrayed, you know, and don't trust people at the very family level, at the very heart level, you know, that would be a natural bow for the heart chakra. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then, and so we got the first chakra, don't trust family or don't trust tribe, don't trust anybody. I vow not to have any needs in the second chakra. And then what's the action in the third chakra? So if you don't trust people and you don't have any needs, so the real you doesn't get revealed. What behaviors do you use to appear to, maybe you appear to trust people, you appear to be fine about your needs or whatever it is. So what have you used as your mask? Because the third chakra is the action, sort of like the mask we put on. It's like, oh, here I am. So for me, the third chakra, the vow was always smile. Be a smiley boy. That was one of my big third chakra things. It's like, so whether I'm happy or sad, I always smile. Because because my brother was sort of like the grumpy, if he didn't get what he wanted, he was just a sullen, you know, grumpy kid. And I was like, and I watched my mom just sort of dismiss him when he was like that. And I'm like, I don't want to get dismissed. So when I'm growing up, I'm like, smile. As long as you're smiling, it doesn't matter whether you're happy or sad, you know, people will respond to you in a different way. So I found that that was sort of like a way to cover up some of these deeper, you know, emotional things that I wasn't getting met. So, you know, how about you? What did you use as a child in your house as kind of like a vow to behave a certain way?
Well, I'm very good at analyzing the situation and the moods of other people because I had to instantly understand what was going on so I didn't get injured again. That carried with me out into the world where I would look at people and know what was going on, and I would tell them what they wanted to hear to make it sound I was right there with them.
Okay. All right. So now, as you're talking here, and I want everybody, this is perfect. Thank you, Cameron, for doing this. So now what you described was the sixth chakra, I vow to analyze every situation to see whether it's safe or not.
Yep.
Okay, so you can put that in your sixth chakra.
Okay.
And then the fifth chakra is I vow to tell people what they want to hear so they think I'm, you know, so they think I'm with them, which makes me safer.
Yep.
Or I vow to tell people what they want to hear because it's safer to do that than to tell them what they don't want to hear.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we got everything but the third chakra, which is your actions. So that guy that tells people what they want to hear I vow to put other people first, or I vow to make people happy. I vow to always be up and smiling. I vow to what's the action that you took throughout your life that that sort of led all those other things. They were the, it was the action of the other ones.
Yeah, well, I did very much. It was everybody else was first before me. I helped a lot of people in a lot of situations. Whatever drama was going on in their life, I would alleviate it somehow.
Okay. All right. So the third chakra is I vow to help other people. Right? I vow to help other people and do what other people need. Done. I vow to take care of other people, which is ultimately, if you have parents that you couldn't trust, the child was probably spending the entire time trying to be good. So you could probably just say in the third chakra, I vowed to be good.
Yeah, I was just trying to keep my head down.
That could be, you know, the way you were good or try, you know, I mean, third chakra can be, I vow to be invisible. I vow to be good. I vow to never stand out. You know, I vow to be helpful. And you can just, and it's just sort of like, which one of those, you know, or I vow to keep my head down and let other people be in charge or, you know, whatever that is. But that's the, so when you're thinking, so now what's happening is that you're looking at one behavior, right? You've got this sort of generalized behavior. You assess a situation, you say nice things to people, but you do it at arm's length. You're trying to find some way to help them so that you feel like you're at least doing something good in the world. But you really don't want to get too close while you're doing it. None of it's about you, in the second chakra. And ultimately by keeping people that way, you don't have to trust them. You just have to fix them and get away from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's all about safety. So everything is about safety.
Okay. All right. So maybe the first chakra, let's go back to that, where it's maybe not about trust. Maybe it's just, I vow to not feel safe in the world.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. And then, of course, that would lead to having trust issues, you know, and keeping people at arm's length and all of that as well. So that would be sort of the next level deeper as you do these. As you wordsmith these vows, you can chisel it down to these deeper qualities. But as you want to heal your body and your life, if you try to heal all of that at once, it's way too confusing because there's way too many triggers, right?
Yeah.
So you want to heal the first chakra, and you know that the vow in the first chakra is, I don't feel safe. That's easy. We find somebody in class that you really feel safe with, right? And then you practice a healing with them, or you go to lunch with them, or you just spend time with them, just feeling like this person I feel very safe with. And as I'm saying this, there's a couple of eagles flying around right out here in front of the house. So that's a big aha moment for you. So being able to make safe friend relationships is where you start with healing your first chakra, right? Now, then you want to realize that, well, you know, we get to the second chakra and you realize, well, God, I'm a guy that just, I don't really have any needs. I don't even know what they are. If I did have needs, I wouldn't know what they were. and so then we start, you know, helping you with these people that you now trust, you know, that are now safe for you. You can ask them and say, hey, I'd like to go to, you know, red, whatever the restaurant is right next to there's a great restaurant, you know, and other people are like, well, let's go to, you know, whatever there's a couple different restaurants around there, but you know, some people will say, well, let's go get tacos. Let's do this. And you're like, no, would it be okay if everybody, we go here because I really want to go there and I want to spend time with all of you. Right. And so now you're establishing the ability to ask for what you need. And then if they say, no, we really need tacos, you can then decide, what do I want more? The food I wanted to eat or spend time with these people? And then you will fulfill, you know, and then you make that choice. But but at the end of that, you'll say, I got my need met because I really actually would rather have been with them than get the food that I wanted, the specific food that I wanted to eat. Does that make sense? So you start looking at that dimension of your life. And now each one of those things that you challenge unhinge all the other ones because they're all based on the entire chakra system believing that one dumb bow that it's not safe to be here. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't safe, that you were wrong about it not being safe. It probably wasn't safe for you to be a child in the world. But it's very safe for you to be an adult. But that hardwiring still has patterns of behavior in it that you need to heal for you to let go of the whole domino. So what's nice is that's why we start with the first chakra, because that's usually the big one around people, family, trusting, all that sort of stuff. And that's a really big one. And as we release that, the dominoes start falling, and it's so much easier to see and release and see and release in each of the chakras. And that's why the chakra system is the transformational system. You don't heal chakras from the top down. You heal them from the bottom up. And that's the problem with most healing modalities, is that almost all healing modalities come from this idea that spirit's going to come in through my crown and heal all this stuff. And it doesn't. It can't, because the lower self doesn't listen to the higher self until it's freed up some space in it. So working up through the chakras each year teaches you, this is the transformational system. I need to let go of my fear of my fear that the world is not safe. And then I need to realize that as soon as I do that, I realize I have more needs, like more playful needs, more whatever needs I have, and I can ask for those. And then, of course, those needs lead to taking action in a different way rather than trying to be what everybody else wants you to be in the third chakra. And then when you're doing that, you're going to attract different people to you in the fourth chakra. And then you're going to speak to them differently in the fifth chakra. And then as you're speaking differently to people, new ideas are going to come into your head that you never thought before. And then finally, that's going to get up to the seventh chakra where you say, oh, my God. I now get why I was always stuck around this one issue, or now I've realized that this is all coming together, and I no longer have to, automatically, unconsciously behave this way. That was just a protective mechanism for me. And now I can choose to do that or not. And that's when conscious choice takes over. That's when, your spiritual practice, which should raise your consciousness, and raising consciousness means having more energy and more clarity and more awareness. And with more awareness comes more clear choice, more ability to choose to do something, that would have before been just an unconscious reaction. You can choose to do that same thing because it's the right thing to do. But sometimes it's not the right thing to do, and you'll choose something very different and not feel guilty or ashamed about it or anything, which the vow would make you feel. And you're just like, wow, I have more choice in my life now. So that's why we delineate between these chakras, because each one in and of itself calls back energy to you and unhinges a little bit breaks some of the hardened bonds that all those vows together create. Are you with me?
Yep. I thought you fell off there for a minute. You got really quiet.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't hearing me?
Right.
Oh, whoa. Did you hear when did I cut off? When did I shut off?
About 15 seconds ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure you were done.
Oh, well, no, I was actually I was just saying that each of these, going through the chakras individually, the whole key is to understand that you need to recognize that within each dimension of your life, that overall purpose of being Cameron was rejected in some way, and that has been rejected in each of these centers in almost a different way. And yet they all pool together to keep you stuck and keep you still making decisions that are automatic and unconscious rather than conscious and seeing all of the options that you possibly have. And so working through that way is key. And so does that help you understand how one through three, and actually you did 4, 5, 6, and 7 too?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do. I see it more clearly. Yes.
Yeah. Good. And so you know, and that's a good, that would be a good first pass. I mean, if you showed up in class with just those in your chart, you'd be infinitely farther ahead than most of your classmates already. You know, even without the freedom statements from that. But if you can start thinking about, you know, what kind of freedom statement might go with some of those, that'll be fun. But remember, this will take, this chart takes an entire year, because we're also going to be doing meditations, crystal bowl work, healings that let you have the direct visceral and physical experience and emotional experience of that chakra. And so then you can relate to, like, oh yeah, that was the feeling I had. And of course that goes along with my freedom statement that says, you know, I am open to, I'm open to the importance of the relationships in my life and the closeness that I need to be with people. And I'm also a person that knows that some people are not trustworthy or are not safe. And I also protect others from those things. So it's sort of like, it's all encompassing, kind of like, yeah, the reason you needed to learn that people weren't safe was because your job may be to recognize who's not safe and help other people stay safe. But by doing that, you get very close to that person and you know, and have to trust, you know, them in the process and be in relationship with them to be able to do that. All right. How's our time here? I'm always running. Okay. We got about 12 more minutes, or actually about a little less than 10 minutes if I stop a few minutes early. So Cameron, you have any other questions? Did that help you?
Yes, it did help, Reese. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right. I'm going to put you back on mute for a sec.
Okay.
All right. And we have another raise.
We have another raise.
Joanna's back.
Joanna's
hey,
back.
Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi, Reese. Yes.
Hey.
I'm back.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm thinking about, you said we're going to do healings in class. Is there an influence of the way the person already worked through his or her chakras and is more or less aware of the points and maybe has, like, healed them? Is that has that an influence on the healing?
I'm not sure I understand your question. So what is the healing work that people have already done before they come to class?
No. Is the let's say the quality of the awareness of the healer, is that of influence on the healee?
Well, yes, for sure. But what's nice about this healing work is, you know, unless you've done some of the Barbara Brennan work, or worked with my teacher, the good news is that nobody's done these healings before, and they take a very different integrative approach than all of the healing modalities. So what's nice is that everybody starts at the same level. With that said, there are people that are in the program this year that have 30 years of private healing practice and know lots of healing modalities. And of course, they will have a more comfort with sending, holding, you know, releasing energy blocks in the body and have more sensitivity to it. But amazingly, some of the best healings that happen in the room and when people have massive transformation sometimes come from, say, a person who was a knowledgeable achiever, and at the end of the healing said, I didn't feel anything at all. I just did the steps. And the person on the table had a massive transformation. Because there was a level of soul connection between them that was more than the than the hand placements and the actual healing going on. And that's really where ultimately the healings are coming from. And that's what these healings are designed to call forward while you're learning the hand placements and how to send energy. We're teaching you to open to that deeper level of healing quality. And you're going to be doing the healings long distance, through the virtual program, and healings are equally powerful long distance as they are in person.
I believe that.
I've actually done scientific studies on it and shown that long-distance healings are actually more effective than in-person healings because there's less issue around the relationship, which most people have issues with. But with that, that's why everybody in the program should, whether you're long distance or not, should be practicing your healings on people because your issues aren't about becoming a healer. Mostly it's about how you manage your energy in relationships, which is what a healing will teach you.
When you do it, when you practice it on somebody else, is that how you learn how to manage your energy in relationships?
Yeah. In relationships, yeah. So everything I'm teaching you is how to manage your energy in relationships, right? The chakras are being triggered by people in your environment, right?
Yeah.
And knowing how to keep them open and not reactively respond to life. The life purpose profiles tell you who you are in that relationship and what you're there for and why you're in that relationship, right? And the healings are going to teach you how to recognize that every relationship has both a give and a receiving quality, and without the ability to know what you can give and know what you need to receive, relationships tend to be very standoffish, which most people, there's sort of like a cordial, you know, back and forth of talking and thinking, but very little is actually shifted back and forth because neither one is able to fully receive and neither one's able to fully give out of fear of intimacy.
Uh-huh.
So healings teach you how to feel comfortable with that. And, you know, but you need to be in an environment, you know, that makes it safe to do that, which was what we created in school. All right.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
What's our time here? Okay. Are you so welcome? Another great question, Joanna. Awesome. All right. Let me put you back on hold, and let me look one more time at the Q&A, and we're gonna. Okay. So that was good. That already got answered. Okay. Another question in the And the questions was, does a vow ever go away? And the answer is no. A vow never goes away because the vow is a truth, and it's a really important truth. And you make a vow to never forget. You know, it's sort of like it's like a corner piece of how you have hidden a part of yourself that's really important to you. And so in a way, your vow gets hardwired into your nervous system to react that way. And but the truth is that the same way you move your energy in a negative way, that exact same pattern of energy leads to your highest choice ability as well. So your shadow, the shadow of who you are, or your lower self quality, you know, has within it the actual energy. So the exact same kind of, you know, let's say you have a, let's say you explode on people, like that's your thing. You scream at people. And so you vowed to never let anybody take advantage of you, and you'll always you'll stop them by yelling at them or screaming at them or, you know, making sure people know that they're bad or whatever it is that whatever your vow was in there that makes that energy. So that's like your lower self, sort of like survival instinct comes shooting out of your fifth chakra. Lower self quality, that's just picture energy literally coming up, from the lower body, from the fear of the of survival in the lower chakras, the fight or flight, and then rather than actually punching him or strangling him, you scream at them. And now you want to say, okay, so that's a terrible vow, right? I vow to make it safe to scream at, to tear someone's head off with my voice, and there's lots of charismatic leaders that do that. And so then you have to ask yourself, so if I vowed not to ever do that, and just shut down that thing that maybe you did as a child, and you shut it down, then that's going to cause all sorts of problems with your voice. You're going to have problems, you're probably going to have disc problems in your neck. You're going to, have laryngitis and all sorts of problems with your voice. So whereas the higher quality of that is that exact same energy that's going to come up and want to scream at somebody can tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, how amazing they are, and inspire them with that exact same energy. So the identical energy that you would use in the vow is actually transmuted and transformed, and you have to feel the desire to yell at somebody and then realize, oh, that's that part where I'm about to tell them that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, or I'm going to transform things as we go. So, all right. So I am going to go now because it's 6:28. We got to go. So let me unmute everybody and then I'm going to let you all go. So the next time, so now everybody, please make sure you sign up for Insight and show up. It's awesome. We're going to do meditation. We're going to do a healing. We're going to do meditation. We're going to do crystal bowls and start charting from one of the things you're doing in class. So you chart your. Hold on. There we go. Sorry. We're going to chart at Insight. We're going to chart your chakras with some crystal bowls. So we're going to start. We're going to do that. We're going to do a very cool consciousness healing or meditation with within your chakras, and then we're going to be doing a simple healing that we don't actually do in the class, and it's powerful and fun and awesome, and what a great way to get you fired up for the year. So if you haven't signed up for Insight today, folks, come on, let's get on there and bring someone with you, and make it fun and introduce people, especially for the first year. We still have over the summer, it's like we're almost full and then we're not full and then we're up and we're down and we have people in and out. And so it turns out that we can probably take as many as like 8 more people in the program. And that's not uncommon to get that many at Insight. So bring somebody who might sign up and is interested in the program. So anyway, I will hopefully see all of you there, because if there's any way for you to get there, you're going to love it. And it's going to totally prep you for the following weekend. And you don't have anything to prep for it. You just show up 12 to 6 on Sunday the 22nd, and it only costs $25, and you can bring your friend or your family member or your children or whatever you want to do, and have some fun. And I'll be introducing everybody to little pieces of what we do in the program. So, all right, you guys rock, and I'll see you all soon. And let me, now I'll say goodbye.
Okay, now I'll say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hey, everybody. We're going to wait a couple minutes. I just dropped all the calls. I know that a number of folks were already on there. I will be there we go. Everybody's coming back on. All right. I'm going to mute myself and go grab some water, and then we're going to get started in just a minute. Hey, everybody. All right. So here we go. Let me see what we got on the webcast. All right. So we can pull the webcast. Well, let's get started. Let me put on the recording. All right, we are recording, and let me check the Q&A and just see. Let's get that open and ready to go. Those that are on the webcast can type in your questions on the Q&A. And this being our last call, and let me shift my paperwork around here a little bit. This being last call, I really just want to make it like a summary type of call. So any questions that you have on the on the archetypes or on the chakras or anything, any area that we've talked about so far, We can totally, I'll answer questions on that. So this is really all you today. So raising your hand, *2, or typing in a question on the Q&A is the best thing we can do. We didn't do the soul point last time, soul and the inner light point last time, so we can talk a little bit about that. This class, I know the audio that you listened to had the what we're now affectionately calling the power archetypes. I know they were the survival archetypes back in the day, back when I did that original recording. And I'm happy to review sort of what those are, how they work, and all that. So why don't we start with any questions that you have from the previous calls, and or any questions you have on your chart, or anything about archetypes at all. Feel free to start. Let's just start it off with where are you and what do you need help with on any of this. So I'm sure that from the audios that you listen to prep for this, you got to have some questions about that as well. So what do you got? Come on, everybody. *2. Any question you have about your chart? Everybody's always shy at the beginning. why don't we just start with like a quick review of the soul point and the inner light point. The soul point is as you're thinking about how to work with it, how to recognize it, because you have to maybe think about what archetype might be in there. It's probably the closest thing to it is it's the easiest way to start out maybe with that. Like we talked about with the physical life purpose point, oftentimes picking your favorite movie actor or actress is a good one to help with the physical life purpose, point. It's kind of like that's that person that you so relate to. It's like if you were on the screen, that's like that would be the person you'd be. And whereas the soul point is sort of that kind of character that you would have to be to have that sort of the quality of the physical life purpose point. And the idea of the soul point has more to do with think about what kind of character in your secret place. Now you've all done the secret place meditation, and you've all sort of aware that you have always had this quality within you, this whatever it is, this strength within you, or this gentleness within you, or this lovingness within you, when you understand that, knowing your profile can help you a lot with understanding what the soul point is. And the soul point is usually the hardest one for people to get, because it really, when you get it, it is like the profile in that just like you don't have a chakra that doesn't serve the profile, and you don't have a life purpose, like on the life purpose levels, those three levels, they serve that higher principle. So the So remember, the profiles are the sole quality of the profiles are creative, artistic, and mystical, right? That's the creative idealist. And then the emotional intelligence specialist is sensitive, loving, and intuitive. And so if you really have developed this awareness of your profile, and of course that's part of what we do when we're doing these charts, is you put an archetype in there and you can say, yeah, but that's not really me. And or that, oh boy, that really resonates with me, and that's really true all the time. And the soul point is going to be something that's true like every time you breathe. You know, it's not something that's sort of like, oh, I occasionally do that. Yes, for sure. I'm super sensitive sometimes, but you know, sometimes you're totally numb, you know? So it's like, no, that's not a soul quality. You know, it's just it's a behavior, or it's like one of the other chakras that has sort of like a big swing, emotionally. So sensitive, loving, intuitive would be the emotional intelligence specialist. Something, you know, team players are going to have the soul quality. So this is different than, you know, everything I write in the, in Discover Your Purpose, you know, or in The Missing Piece, where we're talking about these basic elements of the, you know, of the profiles. The soul quality of the, you know, of the soul, you know, at the soul level, the soul point will have team players will have service, compassion, and sacrifice. So there'll be something in that, like your archetype will have that soul quality. And then the achiever will have wisdom, achievement, and mastery, sort of as the, you know, so what is that, you know, what is that quality, you know, within that? And of course it's going to blend with your, you know, if you've got a, you know, primary and a secondary profile, of course, they are going to show up in all of your archetype, all of your archetypes and all of your chakras. And so, you know, you may have, so for, you know, I have mastery in some of my, chart because my knowledgeable achiever loves to master things and do things for a long period of time before I finally say, okay, done enough. And then I walk away from it forevermore, like teaching tennis, you know, I hit 10 million tennis balls, not, I mean, literally 10 million tennis balls. I added them all up and picked up 10 million tennis balls. And, through my career as a tennis player and then as a coach. And then I just got to that place when I had the opportunity to leave the tennis industry and I started, the school, and it was just like, okay, now I'm on to the next. Now there's no way I could have mastered that at any deeper level, because I really wasn't going to master the business side of it, because that's not really my thing. But as far as how I taught and what I taught and how I was delivering my message what I created within the industry, you know, I'd done everything that I ever wanted to do, and then I moved on. So that's in there. But if you have the knowledgeable achiever, you know, your soul quality has to have as one of its primary elements, wisdom, achievement, and mastery. If you're a charismatic leader, it's got to be a quality that has leadership, power, and courage. And so if you're a charismatic leader, you know, and you're looking for a soul quality, and you say, I'm the lover, or I'm the pink bunny, or I'm the, you know, it's like, you know, you can't, it doesn't work. Because if you are a, you know, charismatic leader, there's some form of leadership and courage to lead in that way. And it can be leading by being very soft. And you have influence. So even if it's, you know, the, you know, even if it's the, you know, the, say the gentle queen, you know, the caring, nurturing queen, like you've got a team player, or a charismatic leader with a team player, connected with it. You know, it could be the queen, but it's the queen that has, you know, a very specific quality to it. You know, or maybe you put mother in there, but it's really more like queen, right? So when you are, you know, thinking about your soul quality, think about your profile, and then, you know, or think about your profile, think about your secret place, think about these qualities within you that are there, think about your primary and secondary profile, and how they sort of blend together. So my soul quality is the golden boy, and you know, and so and it sort of started out as the prince, and I've had a lot of, you know, I have that, you know, there's a lineage of sort of kings and queens in the family, that, and I'm the prince. I'm never going to be the king. It's like you have to know that about yourself. And, you know, sort of my creative idealist with my charismatic leader, if I were charismatic leader first, it would likely be, I could be king, but I'm not charismatic leader first, so I'm never going to be king. You know, I'm creative idealist first with a strong charismatic leader, and achiever, you know, right behind. And so that, you know, prince is sort of the one that gets to play and gets the, you know, the golden boy. You know, and then golden boy was even more like it because there's you know, a lot of times, whatever I decide to do, I can accomplish it. I can do it. And, you know, the school for one, you know, we are literally, the most integrative, energy medicine school in the world right now. You know, I know that Barbara Brennan School was an amazing school, but they've been rebought and they're really, you know, knuckling down on specifically, you know, teaching people to be energy healers, specifically that, rather than just transformation, you know, and using the energy work the way we do in a much more integrated way, even though they have very integrated healings. You know, they don't teach the profiles in a very effective way to let people really know their purpose, so people would come out still confused. And so there's really, you know, so that kind of, you know, trying to do something that nobody else has ever done before, you know, goes along with this sort of like the prince kind of expects that to happen, that golden boy is just kind of like, well, if I put it out there, people will come, and they do. And we have, you know, and, you know, benefit from that. So, and that's been true throughout my life. And so that quality has to serve my creative idealist, which is, you know, coming up with new ideas, and my wanting to be special, which would be the you know, the prince or the charismatic leader, and wanting to be out there, you know. And so, and then my you know, in my secret place, you know, I'm always you know, all my secret places are you know, dreaming, you know, dreamers, and imagining that I'm flying and doing amazing things, and, you know, or casting into the lake and pulling out a huge dolphin, you know, or creating superheroes and, you know, all of those things that lead to my teacher archetype and my, you know, my iconoclast and some of these other things that we've talked about. So your soul quality within you is this, you know, is a combination. The easiest way to sort of think about it, you know, whatever you have come up with so far as your core profile, maybe your top two profiles, and then your secret place, and just ask yourself, if those two things had a baby, what would it be? So think about that, and then the inner light point. Anybody have any questions about the soul point first? Let's just take that. Including, since we actually don't have that many people on here tonight, must have scared them all away. Or they're listening to it afterward. So if any of the teachers have any questions or things that, you wanted to add about the soul point, feel free to raise your hand, star 2, and because I can see that there's a few teachers on here. But for everybody else, you know, there's no way this stuff can be totally like, got it, check, no problem. You know, so start to raise your hand and you can ask any question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question are the ones you don't ask. So, let me see if there's anybody who, nobody put a question in on the Q&A. And come on, everybody, raise your hands. Let's ask some questions. I can see all of you. You're all there. Let's give it a shot. What do you got? What's anything about the soul point? Anything about anything we've done about the archetypes up till this point? Silence. So you must. I must have really taught you perfectly. Okay. So so let's go on to the inner light point. Just to talk a little bit about the inner light point and so the inner light point. So if your soul point is your awareness, this consciousness of this one pure love of life, this one pure character that you have within you, that literally radiates out infinitely. It's never not connected to everything, but you will experience it as centered in the middle of your body. And just picture that the soul itself is everything that's ever existed, right? And so it's all around you. So as your body walks through the world, right, you're just accessing, you know, sort of other areas that your soul already exists in. It's not moving. It's if you are all things, right? If you exist everywhere all the time, and you are part of the creation of all things. So the soul exists in the non-form, totally in the non-form. It exists in that, like in, when you're doing the creator meditation, you go back to where the soul sits before it decides to create you in this moment. And it's in there. So that means that it's not only creating you, but it's part of the creation of all things. It's part of the creative force of all universes, of everything. And so when you move your body through this creative, reality that your soul's a part of, and we're all a part of, your soul will express itself through you. In as you come into a relationship with a different person or a different situation or a different job or whatever it is, it'll express itself differently. And yet there will be this core quality of it, this core character within it, and how you will always express. And that's your, and that's ultimately your big why and your one deliverable. So that's the soul point. Now, when you have that, that is the life within you, right? It's the quality within you that is life itself. It is the pure. It's what animates you. And when you hear my voice right now, you can hear that I'm not a machine. This is why, you know, AI, other than, you know, AI that gets you, you know, through the airport faster, things like that, that's really important AI. But the idea that we're going to actually create machines that think, that are conscious, it's just science fiction. The idea, because you can't create, I mean, unless you can somehow negotiate, have a soul, make a computer smart enough that a soul would want to enter it and live its life through it. But without the soul, there's no consciousness, right? It's just a lump. And so the idea that you can hear, you can sense, you can almost see me talking right now. And when you're interacting with something that's alive, you are reminded that you're alive too. And that comes from the inner light point. The inner light point is where you not only see, but you perceive the life force within all things. And so how you see the world, what's your one thing that you really notice the most about people, about situations, about, you know, in anything? It's like, what's your, you know, what is that, you know, spiritual gift? And very much, you know, we can talk a little bit about the, you know, the different, you know, as Carolyn Mace, you know, talks about in Language of the Archetypes, which you all should be listening to, which is awesome. It's great training in archetypes. You know, they'll be more like the mystical archetypes. You know, it's like there's going to be these mystical, you know, that's where you're going to perceive the world magically, you know, amazing. You know, it may be your fairy or your unicorn or whatever. Mine's the soul seer, you know, sort of like I see the core, that soul quality in people. And so it was, you know, sort of a seer, but it's actually specifically, you know, that's why I created the profiles, because I've always seen that in people. It's like the thing that I see in people. And that's, you know, and that's why I have so much fun, you know, with people up on stage and helping them see these things. Cause so to me, it's just like so obvious. And then once I point it out, everybody else can see it. And that's how, you know, one of my healing gifts is to help people see what's in somebody that they couldn't see and what's in themselves that they couldn't see. So, but that's what the inner light point, its job is. So the experience of being infinitely conscious and alive, that consciousness, which is what the soul is, it's like that consciousness is the only thing that's alive in the world. And now a tree has consciousness. The earth has consciousness. As I'm looking out the window here, and the sun is just about to hit the horizon. It's so beautiful. And the water has a consciousness. All of the forms in the world have some kind of a gravitational pull through them. And that's the life purpose line pull. That's the spiritual gravity that holds all of their, not only the atoms and cells together gravitationally, but there's a reason why it holds that. You know, this lake isn't just those water molecules aren't just, you know, disconnecting themselves and becoming something else. They're staying there because there's a purpose for that. And that purpose comes from that soul character, that soul quality, that soul, the set of soul contracts that the soul decides to come into the world and express. And then we can see those contracts and we call it a tree. We call it a lake. We call it a reef. And we call it a, you know, whatever it is, a car or whatever. There's some contract that object has and an intention that holds it together and a soul intention that holds it together. So that ability to see that purpose within.